please do not hurt me. Father Sky says, thou take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. And all living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings,
greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending native lands and indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Thank you.
Traditional song from the Andes Mountains. The native band is my friends Fortaleza. The recording is from a Wolf Mountain recording of Fortaleza's music at a Native American benefit concert we co-hosted to support the In Defense of Sacred Lands project some years ago. Akwe, welcome and hello everyone to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices program on Radio for Peace International. This is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker, in the studio of RFPI with a very, very special guest, Beatrice Schultes. My friend Beatrice is director of the Indigenous Peoples Program of the Earth Council. The Earth Council is an international, non-governmental organization whose mission is to support and empower people in building a more secure, equitable, and sustainable future. It was created in 1992 to promote and advance the implementation of the United Nations Earth Summit Agreements from the important 1992 UNCED Conference. We will share more information about the United Nations Conference on Environment and Development, as well as the Earth Council in our program. But first, I wish to continue with my introduction of my special guest, Beatrice Schultes. Beatrice is a Kola Native woman from the area now called Argentina, South America. I have the pleasure to serve with her on Radio for Peace International's International Board of Advisors. I had the honor to first meet Beatrice at the historic 1992 UNCED Earth Summit, which I covered as a journalist. In 1998, we participated in a very special international conference in Palau, belonging to Mother Earth, Indigenous Wisdom and Healing. As most listeners to Wolf Mountain know, this was a RFPI co-sponsored gathering which convened many Native spiritual leaders and traditional wisdom keepers from all over the world. Beatrice is one of the fine spokespersons I interviewed on Radio for Peace International's live conference broadcast, which is available on cassette audio tapes. Listeners can purchase the Belonging to Mother Earth Indigenous Wisdom and Healing conference interviews and plenary presentations from RFPI. the Belonging to Mother Earth series I produced are listed in RFPI's free catalog and on their computer website at www.rfpi.org. Beatrice Schultes is a very fine and sincere person. She is concerned for the well-being of our planet and future generations. As director of the Indigenous Peoples Program at the International Environment Organization, Earth Council, she works for the concerns and rights of tribal peoples everywhere. Her work is one of the most dedicated voices for Native peoples. The Indigenous Peoples Program works to inform Indigenous peoples about the important mission of the Earth Council and to invite Native peoples to join in the important projects of the Earth Council, in particular, the Earth Charter process and participation in each country's National Council for Sustainable Development, commonly known as the NCSDs. The UN Conference on Environment and Development Earth Summit, held in Rio de Janeiro in 1992, produced the Rio Declaration, a statement of environmental and development principles, Agenda 21, a program of action, Conventions on Biological Diversity and Climate Change, and a statement of principles on forests. The Indigenous Peoples Program of the Earth Council advocates for the inclusion and involvement of Native peoples in the implementation of these important agreements and for participation in the work of the Earth Council. We Aboriginal people in the past have not been very welcomed in most world forums. We have not had equal representation or serious opportunities to voice our concerns in global affairs, most of which directly affect our lands and communities. While most listeners to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices have heard about various United Nations so-called attention to Indigenous peoples, such as the UN Decade of Indigenous Peoples, the Working Group on Indigenous Peoples, Chapter 26 of Agenda 21, for example, it is my opinion that tribal people still have little respect by governments of the world. It is my hope, and I'm sure of my guest here, Beatrice Schultes, our hope, that this neglect and disregard for Indigenous peoples will soon be a thing of the past, an end to colonialism in all its forms. A major concern Beatrice and I share, especially after our many years of monitoring various United Nations agencies, conferences, and programs, is the fulfilling of the promise of Chapter 26 of Agenda 21, entitled Recognizing and Strengthening the Role of Indigenous People in Their Communities. At the Rio Earth Summit in 1992, world leaders began to recognize the knowledge of Indigenous peoples and our cultural ways to protect the environment and to manage natural resources in a sustainable way. This is a gift Native peoples are willing to share if only our traditional cultural spiritual ways are respected and honored by the non-Native society who have seemed to have lost their reverence Mother Earth and all sacred life, or as we say in my language, Kinoantakwisin to all of our relations. We shall provide more information on Chapter 26 of the Earth Summit Agenda 21 later in this interview series. For our listeners who have access to computers, you can read Chapter 26 from the Indigenous Peoples Project section of the Earth Council's website at www.ecouncil.ac.cr. Once again, the Earth Council's website is www.ecouncil.ac.cr. Beatrice's office also maintains other project information which is available on the Earth Council computer website. For those who may not have access to the internet but wish to learn more about the Indigenous Peoples Program or the Earth Council in general, you can write for information by contacting the Earth Council Secretariat. Their mailing address is Earth Council Secretariat, Apartato 2323-1002, San Jose, Costa Rica, Central America. Once again, for information about the Earth Council, contact the Council Secretariat. Their mailing address is Earth Council Secretariat, capital APARTADO 2323-1002, San Jose, Costa Rica, Central America. Before we get to my guest here, Beatrice Schultes, I wish to read the preamble from the Earth Charter Initiative draft. Preamble, quote, "We stand at a critical moment in Earth's history, a time when humanity must choose its future. As the world becomes increasingly interdependent and fragile, the future at once holds great peril and great promise. To move forward, we must recognize that in the midst of a magnificent diversity of cultures and life forms, we are one human family and one Earth community with a common destiny. We must join together to bring forth a sustainable global society founded on respect for nature, universal human rights, economic justice, and a culture of peace. Towards this end, it is imperative that we, the peoples of Earth, declare our responsibility to one another, to the greater community of life, and to future generations. It is now my very, very great honor to welcome Beatrice Schultes to Wolf Mountain Radio."
Well, hello to the listeners of Wolf Mountain Native Radio, and also hello to the listeners of Radio Peace International. My name is Beatrice Schultes. I'm a member of the International Advisory Board of Radio Peace International. I'm a Koja Indian. We are living in northern Argentina, but now I'm living here in Costa Rica.
Thank you. Beatrice, if you don't mind me asking, you've had a long career and concern for the well-being of Native peoples and Mother Earth, and in the Native American tradition that I come from, when we say all our relations, Kinuwatakus in my language, all the people, we don't just mean the human beings, but we mean the animal and the plants, the waters, the insect people, the beautiful spirits that surround our life, all the relations. Can you explain a little bit for our audience your similar attitude and beliefs about loving and caring all sacred life?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is certainly true. For us, all the indigenous tribes from Central and South America, we have a very strong relationship with our Mother Earth, which we consider the one who gives us the possibility to do everything we do. Actually, sometimes people don't realize that even to drive a car or to write a newspaper or even speak at the radio, we are doing it because Mother Earth gives us all the elements in
yes.
order that we can do that.
Yes.
We are also considering, just like you said, that all living beings, animals, plants, insects, stones, minerals, are part of our life system, and they are our brothers and sisters. From them we learn a lot. Maybe even some of our own people need to relearn this aspect of things, that the little insects, the little animals, and the stones, the rocks, can teach us a lot of things.
Thank you. In North America, and to a certain extent, it makes me sad that some of our Native nations have had many years of what in English I call colonialism, and as a result, some of our traditional ways are not as easily known among our people. I don't say they disappear, because I believe that the trees and the waters and Mother Earth are keepers of sacred understanding, and if one is respectful and offer prayer and is serious, the Mother Earth will speak to you, and you can learn that way. But as example, a lot of Native nations up north, unfortunately, because the United States government, Canadian government, and their colonial attitudes have really prevented Native people from continuing our cultural, spiritual way of life. And only recently has there been a resurgence of our traditional peoples being able to share knowledge with each other and among each other, at least up in what's now called North America. My language, we say Tuna Pasad, we know the Great Turtle Island. It seems to be
in many cases in what's now called Central and South America, Mesoamerica, that many native nations, the people still are, I'm very happy to say, able to be very traditional and carry on their cultural ways. Could you talk about that, please?
Yeah, I certainly, for us, it's very sad sometimes to hear what those big monster countries can do to people and what they did to our relatives in the north, your people. And actually, if I may say, the same brutal powers are now doing the same to us by pushing our governments, forcing them to do things, sell land, exploit natural resources, and then damaging our people. So I would say that those powerful countries, such as the one who did so much damage to you in the north, are still going on and doing it by almost strangling our countries and pushing them into do things which are destructive to us.
Yes.
Now, through all these processes, some of our tribes have practically lost a lot of their
cultural ways,
like say language and things like that. Some others are struggling very strongly to keep maintaining, and we still have a few tribes which maintain their social, political, religious, and cultural structures. But still, through education, even through media, through the national policy making and all that, all this is in danger at this moment. It is really a big concern for us, because since there are so many needs around our people and the other people living in some of our countries, hardly anybody is concerned about the survival of our traditional values.
Yes.
But we do what we can in order to maintain it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Another concern that I have, and I have the pleasure of knowing your involvement, is with what in English is called environment. And sometimes when I speak English, I have to laugh a little bit, because as indigenous peoples, we don't really separate things into categories and labels.
Yeah.
Our life is with Mother Earth, and our concerns for the water, fresh air, protection of land, and what in English is called endangered species, is just part of our everyday life and cosmology of loving Mother Earth. But in terms of the environment, you are associated with an international environmental organization, an NGO called the Earth Council. I'm familiar with the Earth Council because I attended as a journalist the so-called United Nations. Sometimes I call it United Nonsense as a joke. The UN conference in Rio de Janeiro there, UNCED. And there was an indigenous people's forum that was separate from the so-called official conference. And I'm wondering if you might talk, please, about your work with the Earth Council, and in particular, your very, very, very important program, the Indigenous Peoples Program of Earth Council.
Actually, the Earth Council came to life after the Earth Summit, which you mentioned. And at the Earth Summit, that was the first other UN forum where we saw that indigenous people could participate.
Yes.
It was meant at the beginning that we would come in particular with the spiritual leaders, actually. And, well, you know how it is when such a big forum is going to take place with government, a lot of politics are involved. And the indigenous people ended up meeting in three different forums. Maybe you remember that there were three different forums.
Yes.
But that was okay. I think the important thing was that a lot of presence of indigenous people was there, even if we didn't have too much input in the results which came out of the actual conference. After that, a few organizations were created in order to follow up those agreements which were signed, and the Earth Council is one of them. And I guess we can say that we were fortunate enough that the person who was in those days the Secretary General of that conference,
Maurice Strong,
has created then the Earth Council, and he felt that it was important that indigenous people should continue to work on this issue, and that's how we came to develop that indigenous people program which we have in the Earth Council, which is giving us a lot of possibilities to express our opinions on issues like they call environmental development and sustainable development, but which for us is our life together with all
creation.
All creation. So it gives us this, it gave us this possibility, and it gave us also, it gave us somehow the possibility to organize certain aspects of indigenous people's work.
One of the very special results of your work with the Earth Council you shared with me at Belonging to Mother Earth Indigenous Wisdom and Healing Gathering, I don't like the word conference, because when Native people come together, we have a powwow, a kitchi powwow, that's a social and cultural appreciation for one another. It was a summary booklet of an international event you helped to organize, which brought together traditional Native spiritual spokespeople as part of the Earth Council Indigenous Program. Would you just mention that, please?
Yeah, well, I guess what we contributed there is just a very little part of the whole coordination, and this was to make sure that a certain representation of the Central and South American indigenous people were present at that meeting. It was a very great experience because for most of the leaders who came with us, it was the first experience up in a country like in North America, in belonging to the Earth. Maybe it was even their first experience with North American indigenous people. We were able to visit some of the tribes which were living in that area. So it was a very important learning moment for us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
When every season's rolled into one, hey kangaroo, where do you run to? Why listen for the sound of the number of the gun, the hunter's gun? Mother Nature keeps on crying, tears of rain from the sky. Makes you wonder about tomorrow. Is Mother Earth getting ready to die? Is Mother Earth going to die? Long, long ago, in the dream time, our Mother Earth, she was beautiful and new. Then changes came to the landscape. Now there's cities, farms, and factories on you. There's a mess on you. Mother Nature keeps on crying. Tears of rain from the sky. It makes you wonder about tomorrow. Is Mother Earth getting ready to die? Is Mother Earth going to die? To a better day. Mother Mother Nature keeps on crying. Tears of rain from the sky. It makes you wonder about tomorrow. Is Mother Earth getting ready to die? Mother Nature keeps on crying. Tears of rain from the sky. Yeah. It makes you wonder about tomorrow. Is Mother Earth getting ready to die? Is Mother Earth going to die? Is Mother Earth getting ready to die? Is Mother Earth going to die?
Guest is a very special person and friend of mine, Beatrice Schultes, an indigenous person, someone who I really learn a lot whenever I have an opportunity to visit with her. Beatrice, I'm going to also ask you to comment on the role of the University for Peace, part of the United Nations family, and it's here in Costa Rica. In fact, the radio station that we're at is located geographically on the international ground of the UN, the University for Peace. Do you hope that the UPAS will have a program in the future to help the voice of Native peoples to be heard? Because my feelings is our Native people all over the world, we have a special relationship to Mother Earth. We're caretakers of our relation. As far as education is concerned, I think the world needs to be educated from Indigenous peoples' voices. I don't think Native people necessarily need to be so-called educated. Mm-hmm. It's the other way around. Mm-hmm. And as an international institution for education, I would hope UPAS would be a vehicle that Native spokespeople, Native educators, is the term I use, would be able to be heard more, because really the so-called dominant culture, the Euro-industrial mind, is the one that needs to be re-educated by the spiritual and cultural understanding of indigenous peoples. Do you mind talking about that potential?
Yes, but first of all, I would like to thank for your kind words and tell you that we all learn from each other. I'm always very glad to have little chats with you because we learn from each other a lot.
Thank you.
Well, in relation of UPAS, as you know, the UPAS is actually the short word for University of Peace, which is used around here. It's in the process of being restructured at this time.
Yes.
It used to have a program for indigenous people in the past, which ceased or was discontinued. Now, the Earth Council is planning to join somehow and collaborate together with the University of Peace in the future. And it is to hope that we will be able to have some input also as indigenous people in the University of Peace. Maybe because I think that within our philosophies and within our prophecies, within our teachings, our people have a lot of components which are very, very important and could be very useful to general decision making towards peace.
Yes.
Yes. So I think we will try to continue to have talks with the future leaders of the University of Peace and make sure that this is not forgotten. But like always, we will have to push, you know,
yes.
You know how it is.
I certainly hope that and pray that, although mm-hmm. in all honesty, this is my own personal opinion, Indigenous peoples really is never on anyone else's agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And I have hope that the current University for Peace staff will be more respectful to Indigenous peoples. One of the officers in charge, Dr. Bradowski, and I might be mispronouncing his name, was at one point in time in his career if I remember correctly, Director General of the International Union for the Conservation of Nature and Natural Resources, what's called IUCN in Switzerland. Going back in 1986, the International Indian Treaty Council trying to meet with IUCN when they came out with the World Conservation Strategy in addition to the UN Environment Program and World Wildlife Fund, because even though the World Conservation Strategy was an interesting environmental summary of some of the international ecological issues facing the planet, facing Mother Earth, like so many so-called environmental documents, there was no consideration or mention of indigenous peoples. And personally, I had the honor as a younger native biologist and journalist to accompany a delegation from the International Indian Treaty Council in the name of Bill LaPapa, Madonna Thunderhawk, and Ed Bernstick to a IUCN UN Environment Program World Wildlife Forum. And it's one of those times that have made me continue to do the work I do as an educator and spokesperson for Mother Earth. This is by no means a so-called new subject with us. In fact, the subject of having indigenous people's voices be heard and protecting Mother Earth is as old as the first landing of Columbus. Sometimes I'm a little silly, and I excuse my humor, but sometimes it's important to have a little bit of humor with these situations that are so serious. Beatrice, I'm going to ask you to please share with our listeners some personal thoughts you may have about sharing spiritual teachings. I have to be very careful because whenever I speak in public and on the radio, I always make it very well known and clear that I'm by no means a medicine person or a spiritual spokesperson. I consider myself in many ways just to be a young Native American ecologist and journalist, and I speak on the environment. But I don't really share, because I'm not authorized or qualified to speak about spiritual matters. As we were saying, in terms of sharing the voice of indigenous peoples throughout the world, our cultures have a very deep spiritual way of life, and some of the things that are happening to Mother Earth at this time and happening to human beings as well as our other relations were known and are known by our spiritual elders and were forecasted, such as what we call in English prophecies. Up north, some of the Native Nations, you might have heard some of the pronouncements from Hopi, some of the Six Nations, Haudenosaunee, commonly called Iroquois, Seneca, Oneida, Onondaga, Tuscarora, Mohawk, some of the teachings of Daganoweda and the Great Law of Peace and the prophecies are coming to pass. There was a time that our elders told us that the rivers would catch on fire and fish would be dead and the great beautiful maple leaf trees would be dying, one of our important relatives. Many, many things that I really, like I say, am not qualified to speak about, but am aware that our elders want to share some of these things. And what's now called Mesoamerica in English, perhaps the correct word is Abiyala. You can correct me on that. Would you mind talking on a personal note about some of the ancient prophecies from south of the border?
Yeah, I guess the name Abiyala we have adopted, all of us, a little bit. That's a Kuna name for the whole continent, and it has been adopted and is being used. Now, in terms of our spirituality or our practices in our part of the region, many keep it still very secret. Like some people say that we are not supposed to show.
Yes.
Our ceremonies to other people. We are not supposed to take our ceremonies to other latitudes also. I can eventually tell you that some of the prophecies you mentioned, which you have in the north, are quite similar around here. For example, my people in the Andean region, there is a very, very specific one which talks about the time, which is called about the time of Pachacuti.
Okay.
Where the time of the light will come. And which I, just the other day, I read a misinterpretation of it, where somebody was interpreting it like the world will be upside down, but it's not really the way we are looking into it. It's just the whole period of cleansing,
yes,
which will take place,
yes,
at that moment, which we believe is already in process. And then a lot of things which we see that nature is doing in order to cleanse herself shows that very clearly.
Yes.
And there are also other prophecies about in this period of time also, which talk about how the different races which are living on this earth will go back into what they were supposed to do at the beginning and live in harmony. That each race has a certain purpose on the face of our Mother Earth. Of course, during the last couple of centuries, I think, or more than the last couple of centuries, long period of time, something went really wrong.
Yes.
And this has to be restored.
Yes.
And it will be restored, but a lot of damage will happen in that process, of course.
Yes.
So these are some of the things I guess I can say. Most of the prophecies talk about the disasters which are going to come. Also, we know pretty for sure that a lot of false spiritual leaders also will appear and try to fool people. And that's a very difficult one. That's a very difficult one to deal with. Well, I guess that's some of the things.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wakandam kaya Panchi malayo yo Vichane Shankhu ayo yo Vichane Shankhu ane hey ane yo way Hey Anna, hey Anna, oh way. Hey Anna, hey Anna, oh way. Wakantanka Anshimalaya Vichane Shankhu Ayo. Wakantanka Anshimalaya Vichane Shankhu Ayo. Hey Anna, hey Anna, oh way. 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 Hey Anna, hey Anna, Yahweh. Echetuelo, Echetuelo. This is good. This is good. Peace to your journey. Love and light to your path. One in spirit. Journey well. I hope.
You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices on Radio for Peace International. RFPI is Global Community Radio. Yatkidichi Native Center, producers of Wolf Mountain Radio, welcomes your comments about our programs. Listeners may write to us at Wolf Mountain Radio, care of Yatkidichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. That is capital YAT, capital KITISCHEE, Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, NAPALES, Florida, 34120, USA. Please let Radio for Peace International know that you enjoy hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. You can send written comments to RFPI at RFPI, P.O. Box 88, Santa Ana, Costa Rica, Central America. RFPI's email address is rfpicr@sol.racsa.co.cr. Radio for Peace International is truly global community radio. Many listeners to our Wolf Mountain programs also know that we have the honor to be a member of RFPI's International Board of Advisors, and that we have the honor to volunteer several months each year at RFPI's studio in Costa Rica. We mention this because Wolf Mountain Radio wants all our listeners to know how special and unique RFPI truly is. As global community radio, They depend upon listeners' financial support to remain on the air. In truth, it is a financial struggle every month to keep this station going. This is why we are asking everyone to become a member of Friends of Radio for Peace International. Annual memberships are only a mere $40 U.S. a year. Every member receives the excellent RFPI newsletter Vista and the knowledge that you are helping to keep RFPI on the air. By financially supporting RFPI, you are helping to promote world peace, social justice, human rights, protection of the environment, and enabling many cultural voices who often do not have a way to be heard. In addition to becoming a member of RFPI, please consider making any financial donation to the station, no matter how large or small. Any dollar amount will be greatly appreciated. Financial contributions can be given in installments. Contributions each month can really help Radio for Peace International. An annual individual membership is only $40 US. A family or organizational membership is only $50 US a year. Please help support RFPI, which keeps programs like Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices on the air. Yat Kirichi Native Center sincerely thanks you.
This is your host and producer of Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices on this, with our studio guest, my friend Beatrice Schultes. Beatrice is director of the Indigenous Peoples Program of the International Environment Organization, Earth Council. Earlier in the program, you heard the song, Is My Mother Earth Going to Die?, sung by Aborigine singer-songwriter Johnny Huckle. The last song you heard was entitled, One in Spirit, by Jesse Kalau. Well, dear friends, we are nearing the end of our time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain. We will continue our conversation with Beatrice Schultes in part two of our two-part interview special. Before we conclude our program with more music from the Andes, I encourage everyone to learn more about the Earth Council. For more information, please contact Earth Council Secretariat. Their computer website is www.econcil.ac.cr. Once again, Earth Council Secretariat website is www.econcil.ac.cr. The Earth Council maintains a free internet newsletter. To subscribe to this email news network list, contact earthnet@terra.ecouncil.ac.cr. Once again, to subscribe to this email news network list, contact earthnet@terra.ecouncil.ac.cr. For those without computer access, write to the Earth Council for information. The mailing address is Earth Council Secretariat, Apartado 2323-1002, San Jose, Costa Rica, Central America. Once again, the mailing address to contact the Earth Council is Earth Council Secretariat, capital APARTADO, 2323-1002, San Jose, Costa Rica, Central America. Every citizen of planet Earth has the right and responsibility to live in a world with peace and a healthy environment and a society that promotes social equality and economic justice and a world that respects all life for future generations to come. This philosophy is well expressed in the Earth Charter 1997 draft. I will now read parts of this draft. Earth is our home and home to all living beings. Earth itself is alive. We are part of an evolving universe. Human beings are members of an interdependent community of life with a magnificent diversity of life forms and cultures. We are humbled before the beauty of Earth and share a reverence for life
and the sources of our being. We give thanks for the heritage that we have received from past generations and embrace our responsibilities to present and future generations. The Earth community stands at a defining moment. The biosphere is governed by laws that we ignore at our own peril. Human beings have acquired the ability to radically alter the environment and evolutionary processes. Lack of foresight and misuse of knowledge and power threaten the fabric of life and the foundations of local and global security. There is great violence, poverty, and suffering in our world. A fundamental change, of course, is needed. The choices before us, to care for Earth or to participate in the destruction of ourselves and diversity of life. We must reinvent industrial, technological civilization, finding new ways to balance self and community, having and being, diversity and unity, short-term and long-term using and nurturing. In the midst of all our diversity, we are one humanity and one Earth family with a shared destiny. The challenges before us require an inclusive ethical vision. Partnerships must be forged and cooperation fostered at local, bioregional, national, and international levels. In solidarity with one another and the community of life, we, the peoples of the world, commit ourselves to action. Guided by the following interrelated principles. 1. Respect Earth and all life. 2. Care for Earth. 3. Live sustainably. 4. Establish justice. 5. Share equitably. 6. Promote social development. 7. Practice nonviolence. 8. Strengthen processes that empower people to participate. 9. Reaffirm that indigenous and tribal peoples have a vital role in the protection of Mother Earth. They have the right to retain their spirituality, knowledge, lands, territories, and resources. 10. Affirm gender equality. 11. Secure the right to sexual and reproductive health. 12. Promote the participation of youth. 13. Advance and put to use scientific knowledge. 14. Ensure that people throughout their lives have opportunities to acquire the knowledge, values, and practical skills needed to build sustainable communities. 15. Treat all creatures with compassion and protect them from cruelty and wanton destruction. 16. Do not do to the environment of others what you do not want done to your environment. 17. Protect and restore places of outstanding ecological, cultural, aesthetic, spiritual, and scientific significance. 18. Cultivate and act with a sense of shared responsibility for the well-being of the Earth communities. In summary, remember these Earth Charter concepts. Respect and care for the community of life, ecological integrity, social and economic justice, democracy, nonviolence, and peace. Well, dear friends, I really thank you for listening to Radio for Peace International, and we're going to conclude with more music from the Andes. Until the next Wolf Mountain program, this is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker, wishing you well. Ho, Kinewantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Thank you. Thank you.